On Sunday, January 24th at 11 p.m., Sugar My Bowl presents composer, arranger, and 2015 Grammy winner for his Laura Nero project, Map to the Treasure, Reimagining Laura Nero, Billy Childs. Join us as we chat with Billy Childs before his jazz standard appearance. That's Sunday, January 24th at 11 p.m., right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. You're listening to Sugar in My Bowl. My name's Joyce Jones. Our guest for this evening is composer, pianist, arranger, Billy Childs. Billy Childs will be at the Jazz Standard this coming week, and we're offering a ticket giveaway, so we'll prepare ourselves for that event by learning a little bit about Billy Childs. Stay tuned. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, WBAI.org on the web. Sugar in My Bowl, coming up now.
Some steam on my clothes. Maybe I can fix things up so they'll go. What's the matter, Daddy? Come on, save my soul. I want some sugar in my bowl. I ain't fooling. I want some sugar.
Hi, my name's Joyce Jones, and I'm on the line with
Billy Childs.
Billy Childs, thank you so much for joining Sugar and My Bowl. I understand you were born William Edward Childs on March 8th, 1957, in Los Angeles?
Yeah, that's correct.
And these days it would be International Working Women's Day, which is a pretty cool thing, considering your most recent project.
Yeah, definitely.
Are there any other musicians in your family other than you?
Well, my sister is a musical playwright.
Uh-huh.
She lives here in New York, and she writes musicals, and she's had stuff off Broadway, and she's having a production done in London. So I had two older sisters, and the two of us are musicians.
What was the music like in Los Angeles for you growing up, and did it lend itself to what you're producing presently?
Well, growing up, you know, in the 60s and the 70s was really great because it was a time when there was a lot of different things going on, you know, like different styles and genres of music. You know, the music kind of reflected the times. You know, it's kind of this turbulent time of change and kind of political and social upheaval, you know. So the music that I grew up on was kind of eclectic. My mom liked Bach and Baroque music and spirituals, and my dad kind of liked jazz, the modern jazz quartet, Antonio Carlos Jobim, Stan Getz, you know, that stuff. So I kind of had, like, different influences growing up. So it was eclectic, and it was very much variety in the music that I consumed.
Did it lend itself to what you're doing today?
Oh, yeah, because the music that was happening, there was like this real confluence of different genres coming together in these new ways. And you'd have these people who booked engagements, like Bill Graham would book different acts from different genres. You know, he'd have Laura Nero on the same bill as Miles Davis. And so there weren't as many labels. There were just as many varieties as music, but people weren't labeling them and saying this is this and that's that. Mm-hmm. People kind of didn't recognize the differences between genres. They kind of more emphasized the similarities. So that always created me a desire to combine genres of music and make music that had merged genres at an organic level.
I understand you started public appearances as a musician at the age of 6. Is that true?
No, that's not true.
Oh.
I mean, I took piano when I was 6, but it didn't really register until much later when I was 14. And I started getting serious about music. I actually didn't really appear publicly until I was in high school.
Oh, okay.
You know, I started playing gigs and stuff.
What kind of gigs were you playing?
At first, it was like just in little clubs, like loft-type places.
Mm.
And then, like, there was a club in Venice Beach called the Comeback Inn, you know.
Oh.
And the guy who ran it had a really open mind. Also, just let us do what we wanted to do and gave people who didn't necessarily weren't famous, gave them a shot to play there, you know.
Oh, wonderful.
And so I played there a lot. And I played in, you know, just little local clubs where you could get a gig. And I developed that way.
I read somewhere that at 16, because I guess what I'm reading is suspect at this point, but it says at 16 you attended USC Community School.
The community school, yeah.
Right, of performing arts.
Uh-huh.
And is that the period where you thought, okay, this is when I'm going to take this music seriously?
No, it was actually before that. When I was in this school, it was a boarding school called Midland, where I learned, I taught myself pretty much how to play piano there.
Oh.
And so I got serious about music there. And then when I came back home from this boarding school, and I knew I wanted to pursue music, then I asked for every lesson I could get. And one of those situations was at the community schools where I took a theory class and I also took a piano class. And I was about 16 when that happened.
So tell me about the instructors, Robert Lynn and Morten Lauritsen.
Yeah, Lynn was my composition teacher. He was a really great teacher. When we got in our sophomore through senior years, he taught the composition class and just taught me basic techniques of how to compose, how to structure things, analysis of scores. And his teacher was Darius Mio, Roger Sessions, and Halsey Stevens. So he really had great training and he gave us great training. You know, he allowed me to incorporate my jazz sensibilities into like this Western European concept. So that was really great. And Morten Lauritsen, I think there was a teacher that got sick or something and he subbed for them and gave us theory lessons, you know. Mm-hmm. But he was a professor at USC also. Mm-hmm. But he's probably the most famous and most renowned choral writer in America, if not the world.
Oh, wow.
He's like really seriously famous, almost like a rock star of that.
Okay.
Yeah, he's great. Morten Lauritsen, and he wrote a piece called Lux Aeterna, Eternal Light, and it's just beautiful.
Ha ha ha.
So at what point did you start playing with J.J. Johnson?
I was 19, and I met his son. His son and I were really great friends, and I met him at this little gig that we did, and we became friends, and it was like about a year before he told me that his dad was J.J. Johnson. Actually, the way I found out was he said, my dad wants to take a group to Japan to play. And I said, oh, great. So I went over to his house, and his dad just happened to be J.J. Johnson.
Oh, wow.
I was like, wow. That was like a real surprise.
So how did that work? Did you audition and did you say, okay, play something, or how did that work?
Well, we got together and played, you know, but he kind of already knew that he was going to use me. I mean, he, of course, he had to hear me, you know, but he did, and then he liked it. He liked what he heard.
was his son a musician as well?
Yeah, drummer. Yeah, me, Kevin, and Tony Dumas. Tony Dumas was the bass player. Yeah.
So what did that do for you as far as now you're a working musician?
Yeah, it was actually my first professional jazz gig. And yeah, it gave me the sense that I was like now an established working jazz artist. You know, I was still going to school at the time also. So my professors let me off for the 2 weeks that we went to Japan. And then I came back and picked up where I left off. And so that was great. That was really fortunate.
Now, is that the Yokohama concert?
Exactly, yeah.
Wow, excellent. From there, I understood you played with Freddie Hubbard, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Was that after J.J. Johnson?
Yeah, it was. Like okay. The next year after J.J. Johnson.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
Now, I've heard funny stories about how people wind up working with Freddie Hubbard.
No, it was pretty straight ahead.
Okay.
Larry Klein.
The bassist.
Right, yeah, and the producer. He was a bassist with Freddie, and he recommended me to the gig because Larry and I met in that theory class at the community school. And we were really like best friends. So he recommended me for Freddie's gig, and, you know, I stayed with him for quite a while, and it was great. I mean, I essentially learned how to play jazz.
as far as instruments, you play piano, acoustic piano, and you play Fender Rhodes.
Yeah,
Do you have a preference?
No, really. It depends on the music. It's whatever the music requires.
Mm-hmm.
I love both equally, I have to say. So whatever the music requires is what instrument I'll play. I'm not a keyboardist, you know.
Oh.
I'm not a person that can program and use MIDI and do all of that stuff.
Oh, okay.
I'm not really strong in that area, mm-hmm. but I do, kind of focused on the piano and the Rhodes and composition.
Listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM, WBAI.org on the web. I neglected to mention, we extend our condolences to the Brewster Cheatham family on the passing of Joanne Cheatham. Her homegoing service was last Wednesday, and she was a very valuable person in this music. She was a, for lack of a better word, jazz messenger, and she will be missed. And she was also the executive producer of The World of Jazz with her brother, Dwight Brewster. What you're listening to right now is Come In by Diane Reeves. This was co-composed by Billy Childs with Diane Reeves and Diane Louie. This is from Never Too Far, an EMI 1989 release. Before that, we heard The Way of the New World from I've Known Rivers, Billy Childs' release, 1996, GRP Stretch Records. Before that, we heard Rustic Celebration from Freddie Hubbard's Skaggly, his 1980 CBS release. And the composer credit goes to Billy Childs. Before that, we heard J.J. Johnson and Nat Adderley, Jevin. That's a J-E-V-I-N. We actually heard two selections from this concert, the Yokohama concert, a 1978 Pablo Records release. We heard Jevin, and before that we heard Work Song. And in the lineup is J.J. Johnson on trombone, Nat Adderley on trumpet, Billy Childs on keyboards, Tony Dumas on bass, and Kevin Johnson, J.J. Johnson's son, on drums. Before we heard Jevin and Work Song, we heard The End of Innocence, and that's from Billy Childs' Portrait of a Player. It has Billy Childs on piano, Tony Dumas on bass, and Billy Kilson on drums. This is a 1993 Wyndham Records release, and before that we heard from Billy Childs' debut release as a leader, Take For Example This. And this is a 1988 Wyndham Hill Records release, and we heard the title cut, Take For Example This. And we have Billy Childs on piano, Jimmy Johnson on electric bass, and Steve Houghton on drums. And before that, we heard our theme by Nina Simone, I Want a Little Sugar in My Bowl. And this is from the very best of Nina Simone, Sugar in My Bowl, 1967-1972. This is an RCA BMG release, originally recorded in 1967, and this is from a 1998 RCA BMG compilation. Coming up next is On the Bandstand with our associate producer, Hank Williams, and he will be offering the ticket giveaway to see Billy Childs and company present the Laura Neal Project, Map to the Treasure, Reimagining Laura Nero at the Jazz Standard. Stay tuned. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Sugar in My Bowl continues.
Good evening, jazz fans. This is Hank Williams, and welcome to On the Bandstand for January 24th. This segment features aerial listings of Sugar in My Bowl guests so you can see them live. And this week's guest is pianist Billy Childs. You can see him at Jazz Standard this week from January 26th to 28th, and we have two pairs of tickets to give away, so get ready, and we'll give you the info at the end. And we have lots more music for you this week as the city digs out of the storm. We start with saxophonist Gary Bartz, who's at Blue Note on the 25th, with pianist McCoy Tyner. They're also there in February on the 1st, 15th, and March 1st. Tyner's been a little less public lately, so it's a good idea to catch one of these dates and see one of the last remaining members of Coltrane's band in action. Also at Blue Note is legendary drummer Roy Haynes from the 26th to the 27th, and vibraphonist Gary Burton, bassist Christian McBride, and saxophonist Tia Fuller are at Birdland with the Mack Avenue Records Super Band from the 26th through the 30th. Drummer Jeff Tane Watts is at the Jazz Standard with saxophonist Jimmy Green's quartet from the 29th to 31st. Saxophonist Kenny Garrett is at Iridium from the 29th to the 31st. And guitarist Julian Lage is at the Stone on February 7th. It's the last chance to support drummer Craig Haynes' crowdfunding campaign to make a CD and DVD of his band's performance at the 2016 Dakar Gore Jazz Festival. Look for his Facebook page, that's drummer Craig Haynes, or search for Jazz in Dakar on Indiegogo for info, and we'll link it on our blog. So we promised a ticket giveaway at the top of the segment, and here it is. Jazz Standard has given us two pairs of tickets for pianist Billy Childs this week, and you can choose between Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. That's the 26th, 27th, or 28th. Tickets are good for the 9:30 p.m. set each night only. We'll pick the first two people to send us an email at sugarinmybowl, all one word, at gmail.com. gmail.com. That's sugarinmybowl@gmail.com. Be sure to put ticket giveaway in the subject line. Tell us which night you want to attend and give us your full name and telephone number, and we'll let you know if you're one of the winners, and good luck. That's all for this week. If you missed anything, full listings are on our blog. Go to sugarinmybowl.org and click the link for the blog, where you'll also find reviews, features, and jazz news. Sugar is spelled S-U-G-A. If you're on Twitter and Facebook, look for us there also. And playlists and audio from this and previous shows are also on the website. If you like what we do, please help WBAI stay on the air by pledging whatever you can and consider becoming a WBAI buddy with a monthly pledge. See the Support WBAI link on our website to find out more. This is Hank Williams signing off with our bi-weekly schedule. We're off the air next week, but we'll have updated event listings online and be back on WBAI on Sunday, February 7th. Either way you connect, we'll see you next time on the Bandstand.
Hello, this is Hugh Masekela in New York. You're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM. Don't lose your mind. Don't move that dial. Don't groove to anything else.
I'm leaping over to your work with women vocalists.
Yeah.
Vocalists in general and women in particular, because it seems as though you've worked with a lot.
Yeah.
Is there a way that you adjust yourself?
Well, I mean, it's not really a stretch because around this time that I played with J.J. Johnson, shortly after that I met Diane Reed.
Yes.
And we started a group together, you know. So I had been always into like writing songs and arranging them and creating environments for singers, but also kind of environments where the music had interplay with the singer rather than just an accompaniment and like a blanket that they would kind of sing over. I always wanted there to be more to it than that. And Diane is like an extraordinary musician who was able to fall in with that kind of thinking, you know. And plus, we both kind of are the same age and we both grew up with the same conception about music. So it was really a great match.
Diane Reeves.
Billy Childs. Who's Billy Childs?
Billy Childs is a great composer, great pianist, and more than anything, an amazing friend. We've been friends since I moved to Los Angeles in the late 70s, and we still do a lot of projects together. He's done a lot of great arrangements and arranging for me, and we just have made a lot of music together through the years.
I remember. soft as feathers, sharp as thumbtacks, coming down like lead, and it made you squint when the wind would blow. And ice like vinyl on the streets, cold as silver, white as sheets, rain like streams and changing things, like leaves. I remember leaves, green as spearmint, crisp as paper. I remember trees bare as cold grass, spread like broken umbrellas, and parks and bridges, ponds and zoos, ruddy faces, muddy shoes, and light and noise and bees and boys and days. I remember days, or at least I try, but as years go by, they're a sort of haze, and the blue is distinct, isn't with the sky. And at times I think I would gladly die for a day of sky.
And my sister also and I wrote a lot of songs. Plus, I love musical theater, you know, like West Side Story, Tony Todd are like my favorite. And so, yes, it's not really a stretch. And plus, Emerson, Lake & Palmer, Keith Emerson.
Oh, my gosh.
Is like one of my main influences. And Emerson, Lake & Palmer had a lot of vocals and a lot of, you know, they were a vocal group.
This is true.
I liked the progressive rock coming out of England at that time. You know, yes, Genesis, Gentle Giant.
Oh, yeah.
King Crimson, Emerson,
wow.
Lake & Palmer.
Oh, my gosh, you have such good taste.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, their compositions were usually very melodic.
Yeah, definitely.
Upon finishing up with Diane Reeves, when you spent a lot of time working with her, I actually have you having worked with Chris Botti as well.
Right. Thank you. it was a gig, and I really liked the music. When it started, it kind of has turned into like more of a show, but when we started out, it was almost like a jazz gig. You know, it was pretty much a jazz gig. And now it has like a lot of vocals and a lot of instrumental things that are kind of more popular, like with the violin, duets with the violin and the trumpet, and things like that. But it was a rewarding thing. You know, I take every situation that I learn from it. And Chris is a really great band leader and a really great trumpet player. Mm. You know, I don't think many people realize how great of a trumpet player he actually is.
Well, I'm looking at something now. The Billy Childs Ensemble featuring the mm-hmm. Ying Quartet, Autumn in Moving Pictures, Jazz right. Chamber Music, Volume 2. Wow.
Right.
This was a big piece of work.
It was. You know, I was driving on tour with the American Brass Quintet in 2007, mm-hmm. and we were in upstate New York, and it was during autumn, and I was just noticing how beautiful the different colored leaves on the trees were. And I found it really inspiring. You know, there was like a gentle wind blowing the leaves. And so I was like, man, this is beautiful. And it inspired me to write this piece, The Path Among the Trees. Because I saw a little pathway, and I was wondering what a journey down that pathway might be like. So I kind of put it into a musical form. So that is what inspired that CD. And with the Ying Quartet and the Jazz Chamber Group has, like, consists of, like, piano, bass, drums, acoustic guitar, harp, and sax. And so that's, like, 8 out of 10 of the instruments are string instruments. So it lended itself to kind of an impressionistic feel, which was perfect for me describing what autumn was.
One of the artists that you have on the recording, Antonio Sanchez, he was a guest on the show. How did you wind up having him and Brian Blade on this recording?
Well, they both are equally just incredible drummers. I was, first of all, really, I feel really fortunate and lucky to have these great drummers interested in playing my music, you
know?
Uh-huh. And there's a certain vibe that one tune had that I thought suited the personality of this particular drummer, and the other one suited the personality of that particular drummer.
Okay.
And people were amenable to, like, playing on the tunes that I had asked them to play on.
Okay. Actually, it's kind of funny how both drummers were involved in the film Birdman.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Let's talk about Map to the Treasure, Reimagining Mara Nero.
Yeah.
What led you along that path to make this happen? And congratulations, by the way, on having won a Grammy for it.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, Mara Nero was one of my main influences. Her music was some of the first music that I learned how to play. And I was really shocked that no one had come up with the idea of doing a reimagining of her music like Herbie had done with Joni Mitchell. And, you know, I think there was somebody who did, like, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, you know, at one point. A lot of people had done, well, you know, the obvious ones like Gershwin or, you know, Sondheim.
Right.
You know, but no one had really bothered with Laura Nero, and I was kind of really surprised about that. So I had this idea for, like, a long time, and at first I was thinking maybe I'll do it instrumentally, but her music is so married to the lyrics and the story that she's telling that it would be impossible to really get at the essence of each song just instrumentally. So then I thought, well, maybe I could get a singer to sing all the stuff, but then that singer would be invariably compared to Laura, you know. So then I thought, well, I'll do it with multiple singers. I didn't have the fortitude to try and get that together. Like, who would I get? So this idea kind of stayed in my system for, like, you know, 12 years. And then I hooked up with Miles. And,
Miles Weinstein.
And he made, and he made a call to Chuck Mitchell, who I guess had had an opportunity to sign Laura when he was the head of Verve, but passed. So he had, like, regret about it, you know. And then so when we came to him with this idea, he was really all into it. And so then I also asked Larry Klein, who I knew from theory class and from Freddie Hubbard, you know, who is by now a big-time producer.
Right.
And this is right up his alley, you know.
And he produces. Right.
Yeah.
Excellent. And this is an amazing set of selections. Who did decide? I mean, you decided what vocalists were going to be on? Or you just had access?
Well, the casting was, Larry and I kind of put our heads together on that. And some of the vocalists he got, some of them I got, you know.
Okay.
And the selection, there were 3 songs that had to be there. Gypsum Street, Map to the Treasure, and New York Tendaberry. Those songs were very personal to me. And then we kind of put our heads together for the rest of the songs, the selection of those. We decided we wanted to do 10. And we decided that we wanted it to be kind of like a story, like kind of follow, at least like you're looking at a film or something. And so we went for that. And it just worked out that the casting, like who sang on what, worked out to be perfect for each vocalist. We just kind of lucked out that way.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
Well, one of the songs you mentioned, the title cut, as a matter of fact, Map to the Treasure, features Lisa Fisher.
Yeah.
Who is an amazing vocalist.
she is.
They all are. All of the vocalists on here are, but she's just so soul-filled.
Yeah, she's extraordinary.
Yeah. Your visit to the Jazz Standard. Who's going to be with you?
Well, it's going to be kind of the same instrumentation. Actually, it's just me and Carol, the harpist, who are on the album.
Okay.
And Becca Stevens.
The vocalist.
Yeah.
Keep hearing mother crying.
there's going to be two vocalists, Becca Stevens and Alicia Olatuja.
Oh, wonderful.
And they're both amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it'll be a string quartet, the Parker String Quartet.
Oh, wow.
They're based out of Boston.
Okay. So have you done the Jazz Standard before? Are you familiar
with
the venue?
Yeah, a few times.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of a dance to get all those people in there.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, actually.
Yeah, sounds like,
but they do have a big band there on
a
regular basis.
Yeah, well, that's what I figured, you know.
Yeah.
They have, like, Maria Schneider plays there a lot.
Right,
know?
Right.
And I figure, I mean, there's a club in L.A. called the Blue Whale, and it's really small, too.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
So we'll figure it out. Where there's a will, there's a way.
Now, of course, anyone who has Map to the Treasure, Reimagining Laura Nyro, knows that there's a lovely photo on the booklet of Billy Childs and Larry Klein from
1975. Yeah. 1975.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I know.
So in hearing that they've known each other quite a while, you can see for yourself that they've known each other for quite a while.
Yeah, back when they both had hair.
Great. Yeah. Well, this is great. Yeah. So we are so looking forward to your visit to New York. Oh, and you've been awarded quite a number of things as a result of your composition. Actually, when Liz Wright was on the program, we talked about how you are underrated, unsung.
Hi, this is Liz Wright.
So you got to play, one of the people they got to play with you is Billy Childs. He played Fender Rhodes on Here and Now.
Oh, I got to work with Billy Childs. You are right. He's wonderful. And he had just completed a Laura Nyro tribute record with Larry, just as I was starting with Larry. So it was great to see him. I have always admired him, and I have always wanted to do something with him. And I'm so happy that he was into that song. That was my strange little dark horse Here and Now. Yeah, I'm just delighted that he played on it.
I want to love.
with regard to Billy Childs, I think that people don't make enough fuss about him.
You are right on. It's true. He's the man.
Yeah.
Oh.
And we all are, too. You know, that's why you're on here, because everyone needs to know who Billy Childs is. And that you've been around and you've been working hard.
I appreciate it. But maybe underrated in the public's eye. But
right.
I have a lot of good vibes in the music world.
Yes.
And people like me.
This is true. So. Anybody who knows of your name, there are smiles across their faces and songs in their hearts.
Cool.
Well, yeah. Thank you so much, Billy Childs, for all the time that you've provided.
Thank you, Joyce.
So I look forward to seeing you at the Jazz Standard.
Okay, cool.
Well, thank you.
So much.
Have a great evening.
Okay, take care.
You're listening to the closing moments of Sugar in My Bowl. Our guest for this evening was Billy Childs, composer, arranger, and keyboardist, pianist, Fender Rhodes. And what we're listening to right now is And When I Die. This is Billy Childs featuring Alison Krauss and Jerry Douglas on Dobro. And before that, we heard Here and Now from Liz Wright, Freedom and Surrender, her 2015 Concord Records release. Before that, we also heard from Liz Wright talking about Billy Childs. Before that, we heard The Confession from Map to the Treasure, reimagining Laura Nero. The Confession features Becca Stevens. Before that, we heard the title cut, Map to the Treasure. Lisa Fisher is the featured vocalist. Isn't she amazing? And before that, we heard The Path Among the Trees, and that's from Billy Childs' Autumn. In Moving Pictures, Jazz Chamber Music, Volume 2. And that's from the Billy Childs Ensemble featuring Ying Quartet. This is a 2010 Artist Share release. I was able to get it through Billy Childs' website, which is billychilds.com. We have Billy Childs on piano, Larry Kuntz on acoustic guitars, Bob Shepherd on alto sax, soprano sax, and B-flat clarinet, Carol Robbins on harp, who will also be at the Jazz Standard with Billy Childs and Becca Stevens. They're the only persons from the Laura Nero project that will be there. Scott Coley on bass, Antonio Sanchez on other selections on drums. Brian Blade was on drums for this selection. Before that, we heard Blue Horizon, which is co-written by Chris Bode and Billy Childs. This is a Chris Bode release, his 2001 Night Sessions BMG release. Before that, we heard I Remember Sky, which is a Stephen Sondheim song that was arranged by Billy Childs. Diane Reeves from her I Remember 1991 Blue Note release. Diane Reeves on vocals, Billy Childs, as mentioned, arranger, and on piano. Chris Severinsen on bass, and Billy Kilson on drums. Stay tuned for La Nueva Alternativa coming up next. We will be going into fun drive mode. Not sure whether we'll be here for February 7th, because the jury's still out on that, and we're waiting for the word to get back to us. But if everything is everything, we will see you on February 7th. And if not, we'll see you at some point during the drive. Stay tuned. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, WBAI.org on the web. Good night.
Don't want to go by Satan. Don't want to die uneasy. Just let me go naturally. Don't want to go by the devil. Don't want to go by the demon. Don't want to go by Satan. Don't want to die uneasy. Don't want to go by the demon. Don't want to go by Satan. Don't want to die uneasy. Just let me go naturally. Don't want to go by the devil. Don't want to go by the demon. Don't want to go by Satan. Don't want to die uneasy. Don't want to go by the devil. Don't want to go by the demon. Don't want to go by Satan.
Hello, bueno, this is Sonia Sanchez. I urge you to give your generous support to listener-sponsored community radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York.